They begin to grumble and complain about Moses and about God. So the Bible says that the Lord sent fiery serpents, and they began to bite the children of Israel, and the folks that were bitten died. And when the children of Israel saw what was happening, they realized what they had done, and they went to Moses, and they said, "We've sinned. Would you intercede to God on our behalf so that he would take away these fiery serpents?" And so Moses went and prayed and asked God about the fiery serpents. And the Lord told Moses to make a serpent of brass and to put it up on a pole. And he said, "Everybody that looks to that will be made whole. Everybody that looks to that will be healed." And when the serpents bit the children of Israel, if they looked to that serpent, if they looked to that serpent made of brass, if they looked up to it, they were healed. You see, God didn't take away the serpents, but he made a way that people who were bitten by the serpents could live. Now, the New Testament over in John chapter 3 says this: "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, the Lord is not going to take away sin. It's always going to be with us. But what does the Bible say about sin? "When lust is conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Sin brings forth death. But what did Jesus come for? He said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Amen. Yeah, our sin is going to bring about our death. But there's a way we can live if we look to Jesus. Amen. If we look to him and we lift up his name and we live for him and we trust him as our Lord and Savior. Did you know everybody needs Jesus? Amen. Not just the preacher. Not just the deacons, not just the members. Every man, woman, boy, or girl, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. There is no other way to get to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our goal. And that is our purpose in meeting here in this tabernacle, is to lift up Jesus so that the lost and dying world could be redeemed. Now, friends, listen for just a minute. We read on about where Peter was out. And he was with the disciples. They were on a ship, and it was the fourth watch of the night, and a storm blew up, and the ship was tossed, and they began to fear, and they looked out, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they were afraid. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bidst me come unto thee." And Jesus said, "Come." I've never read in God's word where he ever turned anyone away. You know what he wants us to do? He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why do we tarry? Why do we bear the burdens we don't have to bear? There is help. There's relief. There's peace in bringing our burdens to the Lord. Peter got down out of the ship. Now listen, there's more in this than I can ever preach out. Peter got down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. There was a miracle happening in Peter's life. But did you know Peter wasn't the only disciple? I believe there was 12, wasn't there? There were 11 of them that sat down in the ship. Are you going to sit, or are you going to have faith? Which one are you going to be? Peter got down. Our common sense tells us You would laugh at me if I said, I'm going to go down here and I'm going to walk across the lake over to Bainbury. You'd laugh in my face. Common sense tells us that's not possible. But the Lord said, with Him all things are possible. Now you pray on for just a few minutes. Pray for me. Peter got down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Was the storm still raging? Yes, it was. It's easy to follow the Lord when everything's going well. But when the storm is raging, we question, don't we? There was a miracle happening in Peter's life. He was walking on top of the water. A divine power working in his life so that he could walk on top of the water. But you know what happened to Peter? He began to see the waves that were over his head. He began to feel the wind blowing against him. And he got distracted, didn't he? And he took his eyes off the Savior. And when he did, he began to sink. Listen, the waves are going to roll. The wind's going to blow. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll be safe from the storm. He didn't tell me I'd never have a heartache. He did not tell me that there wouldn't be trouble in my life. But he did say, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And I've got good news for you. That's not the end stop. I'm going on with him to glory one day after a while. When Peter began to sink, he looked at him and said, Lord, save me. He didn't want to die, did he? He didn't want to drown. He didn't want that to be the end. And what does the Bible say that the Lord did? Listen to this next word in the text. Immediately, aren't you glad when you called on the name of the Lord? When you looked to Him, it wasn't 30 days. You didn't have to prove it out. All you had to do was look to Jesus. And when you looked to Him and you called on His name and you believed on Him, I believe Romans chapter 10 says that with the heart, the man is... With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let whosoever believeth on Him not be ashamed. I'm glad the instant that I looked to Him and called on Him, immediately I was saved. I got exactly what I needed that night to get me from earth to glory. Why? Because a little Sunday school teacher said, let me tell you about Jesus. The world might have discounted her, but she did me a real favor. Because some old preacher man didn't care to break a sweat, double his heart for the world to point her fingers at him and make fun of him. He just wanted me to look to Jesus. Because folks at the church loved the Lord and they knew what they had and they wanted me to have the same thing, so they made their soul focus. Every song that was sung, every testimony that was given, everything that happened in the service had one reason only, and that was to have the world look toward Jesus. Our nation's in a pitiful shape. You know why?
Nobody in this day and age is looking for Jesus. Oh, listen, preacher, it'll get better. We'll have a revival. We'll do this, we'll do that. In the last days, there'll be a famine, not of bread or of water, but for hearing of the word of the Lord. That doesn't mean it won't be preached. That just means there'll be people that will refuse to hear the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And you can have a positive attitude all you want to. It's not going to surpass the scripture. That don't mean we won't see people saved. That don't mean he won't come down and we'll be in his, we'll get to be in his presence every once in a while. How do you know that, preacher? Because he's not a deadbeat dad. He loves his children. He supports them. There you go. That didn't cost you anything. All right. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached for his right hand. And they found themselves safe in the ship. I was lost and undone without God or his son when he reached down his head for me. I was too. And you know where I found myself? I found myself safe in the ship. What are you talking about, preacher? The ocean's hundreds of miles away. I was in the old gospel ship. I was in the church of the living God. I was with a bunch of born again, baptized believers. Those folks, and when I was lost and undone, had spent their whole time pointing this little sinner boy to Jesus. I believe we'd be a lot better off if we spent less time saying, Lord, bless me, and a lot more time saying, Lord, save my sinner.
Amen.
All right. Look to Jesus. So what do you see when you look to Jesus? Do you see him? When they were whipping him and his flesh was torn, you can't tell me that didn't hurt. Willard, the way I was raised, when we misbehave, Dad would take his belt, and I don't want you to misunderstand or think bad of my dad. I deserved what I got. And he never brought the blood. He never caused a bruise, but he whipped me with his belt. And as a result, I learned that the behavior that I was exhibiting was not adequate. I learned to change my ways. But the whipping that Jesus got, he didn't deserve. You know who deserved it? I did. You did. He did that for my sin and your sin. So when you look to Jesus, are you looking at the one that paid the price for your sin, that took your beating, that took your punishment? Oh, I read over in Isaiah chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgression, for your sin and my sin. He was bruised for our iniquity, for your sin and for my sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. When you can go to bed at night and you can lay your head down at peace, knowing that if you don't wake up, heaven is your home. The only reason you get to do that is because the chastisement of our peace was upon him. His suffering is the reason I don't have to worry, woo, about hell anymore.
Amen. Amen.
So what are you looking at when you see him? In
And by his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
You see, we had a disease. We had a disease. We had a terminal disease The cause was sin, and the result is death. But I found the cure when I looked to Jesus. What do you see when you look at Jesus? Do you see somebody that cared enough for you personally? But you know, he don't have the role. Say, well, there are the Holtz. I'll pay all the price for their sins. But there's the Greg. Nope. Not going to pay for hers. He said, I'll take all of yours. I'll take all of yours. And I'll pay for all of them. So what do you see when you look at Jesus? Do you see somebody that loved you enough to die for you? Do you see somebody that loved you enough to the filth and the shame that you brought on him? He overlooked that, loved you anyway, and paid for your sin.
Amen.
We are way too comfortable. We're just A-okay with this old flesh and all that it brings. To be honest with you, we probably ought to hang our head most of the time. Enduring the shame of the cross. I believe it's Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It goes on, it says, for therefore the Lord has highly exalted him. Did it say he has exalted me? No. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell and you would too. If I got what I deserved, I'd be burning right now and you would too. So I'm not worthy of any exaltation. I'm not worthy of any praise, and you're not either. But let me tell you about somebody you're looked to. You're looked to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the only reason we get to escape hell and get to go to heaven at all. Without him, we're lost. Looking to Jesus. You realize what he gave up? Just so you could be redeemed. He was God's son. Born. He was in a perfect place, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
No sin, no death, no hatred, no shame. A perfect place where the angels worshiped and rejoiced in him. No tears, none of the things that make this world the awful place that it is. And yet, he looked on you and he gave all that up so that you could be redeemed. Not only that, he knew what he'd have to go through. He knew he'd be spit on. Are you seeing it? When you look at Jesus, do you see a man that was spit on because of your sin? When you look to Jesus,
Do you see a man that was born in a barn where cattle graze because we needed redemption? When you look at Jesus, do you see a man that they planted a crown of thorns and they forced it down on his head and the blood run down his temple, down his cheek and off his chin, and that blood is what redeemed sinners like you and I. He endured that so that we could be redeemed. Are you looking at him? Oh, what a pitiful sight. Oh, when he was beaten and the flesh was torn from his body, when he's walking up Calvary's hill and they drag one Simon out and said, here, you carry that cross. Oh, what a privilege to walk in his bloody footsteps. Can't you see the view that Simon had? Oh, what do you see, Jesus? Are you looking at him? Because he endured that for the likes of me and you. When they got to Calvary's hill and Simon laid the cross down and they threw old Jesus down there, and instead of rubbing his wounds, he spread his hands. Are you looking at Jesus? When the Roman soldiers take the nails and the big hammer. I don't know about you, these old horror movies, I just don't care much for them. But can you see, as the nail went completely through his hand and the blood came out there, why do you have to do that? Because I needed a Savior. And he did that for me. He did that for you. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. When you look at Jesus, what do you see? Yeah, he's my best friend. But he's more than that. I've got friends I can go fishing with. I can go to the football game with. But with this friend, he's more. Because he's done some things for me no other friend could do. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. I just bought a new truck. If I couldn't make the payment, Willard might say, here's you a payment. But next month, the payment would come to you again, and the next month, and the next month. My friend Jesus took the payment, put the whole debt that I owed, every dime, every penny, every sin that I'd ever committed, he paid for all of it in one lump sum, and I am free of that debt because of the man I see when I look at Jesus. Looking to Jesus. If it wasn't for him, I might have to talk to Bobby or Johnny or one of these fellas. I'd need a calf to offer for sacrifice. And then I couldn't even offer it because I'm not Jewish. They wouldn't take mine. But you see, Jesus made a way by grace through faith. Ye are saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And I like to quote this scripture after I quote that one. Thanks be unto God
Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Let me say this and then I'll hush here in just a minute. We like to show gratitude, don't we? When somebody does something for us, especially when they do something for us and they really don't have to, but they do it because we know it means something special to us. Listen. Let's go over to Acts chapter 3. There was a man, Peter and John went down to the temple at the ninth hour, being the hour of prayer. And there was a man there that was laid daily at the beautiful gate. Every day, he couldn't walk. And somebody cared enough for him. We preach often about this man. We preach often about what happened to him. And I'll get to that in a minute if the Lord will help me. We preach about Peter and John and what they offered him. But what about the friend that took the time for a man that couldn't help himself, that they would take the time to carry him down to the gate? Aren't you, thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad for the people that carried you down to the gate? Well, preacher, I'm not encumbered. I got two legs. But yeah, you were a sinner and you weren't looking the right way. You weren't looking toward Jesus. So somebody carried your name down to the altar and said, Lord, would you open their eyes? They carried a burden for you so that you could look to Jesus. This man was just begging for help. And he saw Peter and John. He held up his cup. I can just see it. Expecting to receive an alms. And Satan said, you're wasting your time. Look at them two old boys. They're just fishermen. They ain't got nothing. But he asked anyway, didn't he? I believe it was Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. If I said, here's $1,000,000, give me the best thing you got. You wouldn't do it, would you? If I said, here's $1,000,000, give me that best thing you've got, you'd say, it's worth more than that. It's worth more than that. What Peter was saying, I've got something worth more than you ever imagined, old buddy. Silver and gold have I none. But what I've got, I want to share with you. Such as I have, give I thee. In the day of, well, you know what, let's back up just a minute. You know what Peter and John said when that old boy held up that cup? He said, look on us. Yeah, that's right. Now, these eyes have never seen Jesus walk this earth. I didn't see him in the flesh. These eyes never saw him hang on Calvary. These eyes didn't see him after he rose from the grave. But you know what these eyes were able to see? People who had looked on him through the eye of faith, who were putting me in his direction. Listen to me. I want you to know people can see Jesus in you. Amen. So when we see this lost and dying world, don't show them the things of this world. Show them the love of Jesus Christ. Look on us. There is a reason that we still have a church in 2023. And let me just touch on this. I'm going to give a second to something Johnny said in Sunday school. Well, I can worship the Lord from home. You can worship him anywhere. But you need to read the scripture. Exhorting one another. If I'm home and Philip's home, how am I ever going to lift him up? How am I ever going to help him? Well, you know, don't back off on me, and so much the more. In other words, I need to do a little more. As you see the day approaching, do you agree with me that Jesus is coming back?
Amen.
Now, come on, I believe we can do a little better than that. Is Jesus going to come back?
Amen.
If we believe that, then we need to be about the Father's business.
Amen.
If we believe that, our sinners are in jeopardy now more than they ever have been. If we believe that, hell is closer now than it ever has been. If we believe that, time is running out on my sinner and your sinner. And if there ever was a time that they need to look to Jesus and they need somebody to show them which way to look, it's today. And the folks that show them which direction they need to look are the church of the living God. You've got a purpose. You've got a reason. You've got a job to do. And that's to show people Jesus.
Amen.
I saw this. It was a little thing. It said about people that came first-time attenders to church. It asked them why they came. 6% was because the pastor invited them. What's that leave? 94%. Well, close to that was because somebody they knew personally had invited them. You see, I don't know. I may have met Clint years and years ago. I can't remember, but he knows you. He knows you. You have influence over him. I wouldn't care a bit to call him and say, hey, I'd love for you to come to church. And I will. If the Lord lays that on my heart, and if you'd like for me to, I'd be more than happy to. But he'll probably come walking through the door because he loves you. And he loves the life that he lives, that you live in front of him. You see, folks, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Pay attention and watch me right here. This is never what the Lord had in mind when he saved you. And if this is all you've ever done, you have failed the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He has a job. He may want you to work with young people. He may want you to work with old people. Okay. I love our young folks. But guess what? And I want to reprove, rebuke, exhort. You see, we've got, I would say, upward toward 15 or 20 folks whose health, they were here when y'all elected me. Now they're not. It's because their health will not let them be here. You know what? They would give anything to sit on the pew you're on right now. They would love to be here. But they've come to the point in their life where they can't. And I know, youth, and I love every one of these. They're the church of, no, they're not the church of tomorrow. They play just as important a role in this church as I do. But let me tell you something. There'd never been a church if it hadn't been for those folks that used to be here and can't make it now. And you see, there's a ministry for that. And I want to tell you, I love you and I appreciate what you've done for these folks. Because they need to know that Dutch Bottoms loves them. They need to know that we've not forgotten them.
They need to know that they're not alone. You say, well, preacher, I'm busy. I work. I can't make it. It's hard for me to find time. Do you pray? Do you pray? If you pray, then call their name out and say, Lord, bless them. Send a blessing their way. Listen, they'd love to hear the singing. They'd love to hear the preaching. I know some of them watch on Facebook. It's been a byproduct of what has happened since we started that. But they need the Lord just as bad as I do. And let's pray that God would put his hand on them and watch over them.
Amen.
How do you think we got here? Does the Bible not talk about the body of Christ? The whole body? We wouldn't have made it this far without our feet, would we?
And some of you wouldn't have been here. Some of you wouldn't have been saved had it not been for these older folks that made you look to Jesus. All right. Look on us. Peter said, such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus. Well, who did he point him to? Come on in here. Let me introduce you to the rabbi. Yeah. Rabbi couldn't help that man. He'd walk right by him every day. Peter said, in the name, have you met Jesus? Do you know him? I was just an old fisher boy, but I got to follow him. I saw miracles that he did. He's made such a difference in my life. I'd like for you to meet him too. I believe he can help somebody like you when he took him by the right hand. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And you know what the man did? He got up, he leapt up, and he went running and leaping. Where'd he go to Walmart? No. Where'd he go down to the beer joint? No. He went into the house of the Lord. He was in the ship. He was with the church. He was looking to Jesus.
Amen.
I don't, not my place. I know that. But if you can make a trip to the altar and then go right back into the same old scene you was in before you walked through the door, did you really look in the right place? Because what I got changed me. Mom, Dad's got a vanity. You know what I'm talking about. Sink, mirror. And the next morning, I was the same little old ugly 8-year-old boy that I was before. But inside, that fear was gone. Inside, there was a peace on the inside. I was changed. You can't tell me that an entity that could speak this world into existence comes into your heart and doesn't make a difference?
That's right.
Really? That a God that took a handful of dust and made a man and breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul that made you, he comes into your heart and you're still the same old filthy thing that you were to start with? I don't think that's possible. I believe he makes a change in men and women, boys and girls.
Amen.
I know. Numbers down a little bit this Sunday. Things happen. I'd like to see every pew full. I'd like to see us, you know those chairs we had stacked up over there? I'd like to see them a permanent fixture in the aisles. Because we needed places for people to sit. But if we had that and nobody saw Jesus, what good would it do? Now, let me say this. I know it's getting late. I'll be done here. Give me another 45 seconds. I quoted that statistic. 6% of folks that were first-time attendees said that the pastor invited them. And around 90-something percent said that it was somebody they knew that invited them. Who's your person? Who is looking at you and looking for Jesus? Who would you give anything if right now they were sitting beside of you? You can't tell me that there's not somebody. Surely you love somebody. You can't tell me that there's not one person, if you had your brothers, they'd be sitting right beside of you, and they'd be right with the Lord, and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, if they died, that they were going to heaven. I know there has to be somebody. Well, guess what? They need us to show them Jesus. They need us to show them the direction they need to look to see the author and the finisher of their faith. Amen. You know what faith is, don't you? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So how much have you got? Enough to get down on your knees and say, Lord, please save so-and-so? But do you have enough to get up off your knees and go to so-and-so and say, I love you and I'm praying for you? You don't have to get into specifics. You don't have to tell them they're a sinner. They already know. But if you tell them, I love you and I'm praying for you, there'll be something on the inside that'll just crumble. Amen. Will they run to the altar the very next service? Maybe not. But you remember the parable of the field that was full of stones? How do you make that stony field good ground? By removing one stone at a time. Amen. And if you remove enough, guess what? You got good ground.
Amen.
All right. Look to Jesus. Somebody have a word on your heart.